Today's daf in Menachot is daf Lamed Beit, and we're holding on the fourth line up from the bottom of Lamed Aleph Lamed Beit, continuing the dinim of the mezuzah. Om Rabbi Chalba. Chazina Leila Rav Huna, Dekorech Lemiachat Klapishma. I can report that I watched Rav Huna and how he acted with his mezuzah. So after writing the mezuzah, before hanging it, he would roll it up from the end of the line, Echad, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kenu, Shema Echad, and roll it up towards the word Shema. And he wrote the parshiot in such a way that they were situmot, so that they ended up being either at the end of the line or close to each other in such a way that there wasn't a large gap between them. And that's the way that they appear in the Sefer Torah. Of course, they're not next to each other, but whatever parsha they're next to is that way. And the problem is, of course, that there's only one gap between the parshiot. So how do you use the lashon of situmot, since there's nothing between the second parsha and anything else? So there, again, situmot, some suggest that over there it means that it ends at the end of the line. And that would be according to the Man Yomar, who says that there the words al ha'aretz was at the left side of the line, at the end of the line. So you can refer to that as situmot, as situma, even though there wasn't the parsha afterwards. Others change the gears, actually, to read a set parshiot situma, a reference to the single gap between the two parshiot, and that would be the way that these parshiot actually are in the Sefer Torah, even though, of course, they're not next to each other in the Sefer Torah. Meitve. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we're going to get to the Meitve in a moment, but before we get to the Meitve, which is at the very end, which Rabbi Meir obviously didn't do the parshiot stumot, but he did them to chot, and that's going to be our kasha. But first, before we get there, let's just do a little bit of terminology clarification. So even though we're going to see there's different ways of reading these words, but and the Rashi over here, we should change the girsa to duchsustus instead of shalo niklaf. The duchsustus would be or shahu niklaf, lashu niklaf. Begin with three different types of skin and three different dinim that have to do with those skins. First of all, you have a gvil, actually. And the gvil is the entire skin, which if tanned in its entirety without splitting it, you'll remember split leather, we use that word even today. Split leather. No. But if it's not split, it's called gvil. That's very thick. And if it's tanned that way, the place to write is on the area that has the hair follicles, not on the side that's facing the bust. So that's called bimakom se'ar. If you split the skin before tanning, and then you tan it, then the upper piece is called the klaf, which means the peeled off. That's the epidermis. And then you have the what we call the duchsustus, which is towards basar, duchsustus. That part is called the duchsustus, but you don't write then on the tzad of the basar, then you write on the tzad that is klape the se'ar, and the klav side on the tzad that is klape the basar. So in other words, the way to remember it very simply is, pretend it's all logistical, which we'll see in a moment is not necessarily the case, but pretending that it's a logistical issue and only a logistical issue, it's clearly easier to write on the surface than that has the hair follicles that it is to write on the uneven surface that faces the connective tissue to the basa, to the muscle itself. However, if you split it, then the thin piece of skin that was lamala is actually quite smooth and doesn't have the problem of the follicles on the side that is towards the basa, which means that the klaf you would write on from the underside, which was the sides towards the basar, whereas the duchsustus would be written on the side, which is the upper side, which is klapi the se'ar, so that it ends up becoming opposites. When you have the entire gvil, the choice between the mokum se'ar, which is inconvenient, and the mokum basar, which is inconvenient, the mokum se'ar is obviously smoother than the mokum basar, and therefore, in the cloth you would write, on the gvil you would write on the mokum se'ar, right? Guys, there are three different types of skins, and with different dinim of mokum aktiva. All right, so Rabbi Meir would write his mezuzah on a duchsustus. He would not write it on cloth. And he would write it kemin daf, so that it was like a daf in the Sefer Torah. So in other words, it was one column. And he would be oseh revach milamala, You would leave a margin above and a margin below. The Revach Milamata doesn't say anything about Min Hatzad, and that is a little bit of a problem to make it Min Hatzad, because we have the Shem Shakai that's written on the back, Klape the Ktav. If you would leave a margin, you would cover the Shakai, and the whole point is we leave the Shem Shakai open. Some actually say cut a little hole in the skin for the in the margin for the Shakai, but we don't leave that margin. Anyway, but here's the problem. The problem is that Rabbi Meir would make the Parshiot Petuchot, and that is the opposite of what Rabbi Huna did. V'amarti lo, Rabbi. So here reports from Shimon Elazar. I asked Rabbi Meir, Rabbi, Matam, why exactly are you doing that? If in the Sefer Torah they were actually Setumot, Amar li, because they have no relationship to each other in the Sefer Torah. In Simuchot Mina Torah, these two parshiot are in two completely different places. One is in Etchanan, one is in Ekev. So what's the point of making them stumot, where stumot implies a relationship between the parshiot? So they may be stumot in the Sefer Torah next to the respective parsha, but they're not stumot to each other, so therefore I leave them separated from each other. How would Rav Huna do the opposite if Rav was the Rav of Rav Huna, paskind over here, like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Vomer of Chanan alam Rav, halachic Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who was reporting this, and therefore obviously saying, this is the way we should be knowing. And I assume when he said halachic Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he meant about all of these things, Duchsustus, Mintaf, Revach, Ptuchot, and therefore he should have written as Mezuzot Ptuchot, and instead we're reporting, according to Rav Chalbo, that he personally witnessed Rav Huna writing as Mezuzot Stumot. Answers the Gemara, who's to say he was talking about the Ptuchot? Lo. He was referring to the halacha of leaving a margin. And how much of a margin? The Kama Revach, Omer Menashe Bar Yaakov, or some say Omer Shmuel Bar Yaakov, Kemole Atba de Sifre, the size of the clamp. Because in order to prevent the parchment from rolling up, which makes it impossible to write properly, it keeps curling, so they would clamp it. The clamp was like our old-fashioned clothespins. It didn't have a spring in it. It was just a clamp that you would plug onto it.
The and, word also became the modern word.
Atba.
Yeah. Where did they get it from?
Where did they get an atba? It's always modern Hebrew has the strangest places. So, but it's interesting because the current atba doesn't look anything like the atba de Sifri anymore. But the old-fashioned one, that was just a piece of wood that gets thinner and thinner, and you just, that's an atba de Sifri. And that atba de Sifri is the size, obviously, that you leave for the margin. You're going to be writing under the atba de Sifri. It's about the size, less than the size of a fingernail. Omar Abayel Rav Yosef, I don't get it. Va'at lo tizbra, what you're telling me, you need to work this out, like you wouldn't have been able to figure out on your own that we were paskining over here about the Revach and not about the Parshiot. It's so obvious. I mean, you don't need to have this whole discussion about witnessing what Rav Huna did and only coming to the conclusion that Rav was referring to the Revach based on the fact that Rav Huna wasn't doing it that way. I mean, because, listen, it's well known that Rav was very makpid on supporting Minhaga, as we're going to see. And we know that the common usage all over, you look at anybody's mezuzah, and they're all stumot. Now, how could you possibly say that Rav would have said that we paskin that they have to be petuchot? That can't be what he was paskining. How do I know that he was always makpid on the minute? The Omar Rav, Omar of Gada. Omar Rav, im yavo Eliyahu, v'yomar chotzin b'min'al. If Eliyahu Navi would show up and he would say, you can use a min'al, and a min'al for chalitza, and a min'al is made out of very thin layers, leather, soft leather. And soft leather has a problem. The problem is that since a min'al that is torn, patched in this way, is possible for chalitza, And a min'al, being as it's soft, sticks on the foot, even if it's torn. There are some guys are not to use the min'al, because it's too similar to the chance of using a torn covering for the foot. Mashenkin, a sandal, which is made out of very thick, hard leather, if it tears, it falls off the foot, and therefore there's no problem like that. So if he would say, don't worry about it, just use a min'al, shamimlo. But if he would say, don't use a sandal, We wouldn't listen to him. Because the minig is to use a sandal. We wouldn't listen even to Eliyahu HaNavi. To Paskin like him against a minhag of the Yom. There's quite no go on besandal. Rabbi Yosef, Omer of Khan, Omer Rav, puts it differently. If Eliyahu would come and he would say, don't be cholitz with a minal, okay, shum imlo. But if he would say, don't be cholitz using a sandal, ain shum imlo. Shekvar no go on besandal. And, okay, over there we ask, what's the difference between the two approaches? Obviously, the difference is whether lechatchila we use a min'al. Marina may be nayu, min'al lechatchila ike be nayu. But anyway, how could you think that Rav would have paskened against everybody's mezuzah? What do you think? He's one of these new guys that discovers that everything that was done until now is puzzle. Elo lav shma min'al areva. What we're going to have is actually we're going to have in this sugya a famous psak halacha that somebody who does something as a chumrah that is not a chiyuv is called an idiot. It's called an idiot. We're going to need to answer the sugya in the morah based on it. It's a love shma mina revach shma mina. Obviously, he was referring to the revach, not because of Reb Chalvo, but because based on Rav's own history of psak, he couldn't have been referring to anything but the revach. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, look, the mitzvah is lasotan setumot. The iabdina p'tuchot shapir dami. That's all. You don't have to ask. It's on a kasha. You were assuming that it was exclusive. It wasn't exclusive. When it says that he made it setumot, he made his parsha p'tuchot, what it meant was, what Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, I saw that he made it p'tuchot, was not that he was makbid to make it p'tuchot, but that he would not be makbid, and he would do it af p'tuchot. That's the point. There's nothing wrong with this stumot. Lema misayale. See if we can bring a raya, because we have a psak that says, in the braita, kayotze bo, sefer Torah shed bala, utfilin she balu, if you have a Sefer Torah that became worn out, but parts of it are still usable, or tefillin, which most of it is no good, but you've got the parshas of Kriyat Shema that are still usable, you can't use that portion for a mezuzah. Why not? Because if you started off with the madrega of the kedusha of a sefer Torah, you're not allowed to be morid that kedusha to turn it into tefillin and mezuzah. Now, the implication is that if not for that, there would be no problem. In other words, if it weren't for the misuse of the kedusha of the sefer Torah, it would be technically feasible to turn a sefer Torah into a mezuzah. How the heck could you do that? You're saying homoridin osin. How could you do that if amai hocha stumot in the sefer Torah the parshiot are stumot? And as Rabbi Meir explained to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that the reason that he was making them p'tuchot was because they weren't in the Sefer Torah. So how could you possibly turn the parsha of the Sefer Torah into the mezuzot? Ocha p'tuchot. So clearly it couldn't have been that it was makbid to make it p'tuchot. It must be it's okay if it's stumot, and therefore we need to know you can't turn the Sefer Torah's parshiot into a mezuzah only because not of the logistics, but because of the problem of a moridim mikdusha chamura likdusha kala, says the Gemara. I mean, how do you know it means that? Obviously, you can't turn the Sefer Torah directly into a mezuzah. I mean, how do you put Vet Hanan into the middle of Akev? There's no way to do that unless you're cutting and pasting. So you've got to be cutting and pasting anyway, right? So how do you know you're cutting and pasting from the first line? Maybe you're cutting and pasting up to the line or after the line that shows whether it's Ptucha or Stuma. So you have no way of knowing that it's a reference to doing it specifically. Dilma lahashlim. Maybe it simply means being mashlim what's missing. So let's say you got up to, in your mezuzah, you got up to the second line of the second parsha. Fine. So now you can paste the Sefer Torah piece from that point onwards. You can paste it onto, by sewing it, onto the top part of the mezuzah. Now you don't get into the problem whether it's a p'tucha or stuma at all, because the part that was written for the mezuzah may already have been written p'tucha. I don't know. So maybe it worked out that way. You could be mashlimit or adarabah from the top till the closing line of Shema. I don't know, but certainly you don't have a raya. Okay, but so let me ask something else. You're telling me if it wouldn't be for the problem of moridin, then we could turn a sefer Torah into mezuzah. Isn't there another problem? They're written on different skins. Vatanya halacha l'Moshe Sinai, tefillin need to be written on the cloth. The mezuzah needs to be written ala duchsustus. And over here you said you'd be able to turn the tefillin into the mezuzah if it wouldn't be for the problem. But how could you possibly turn tefillin into a mezuzah if they're written on different parts of the skin? So tefillin is written on the cloth, which is the thin upper layer, as we explained, and it's written on the side which is facing the side of the meat, not the side of the seyar. And the mezuzah, it's separated. The mezuzah is written on the duchsustus. Cloth is written on the makom of the basar. Duchsustus, adarab, is written on the face facing upwards, away from the flesh, and that's b'makom ha-seyar. So there's no way anyway. Forget about moridin. There's no way anyway to turn one into the other.
And going from tefillin to mezuzah is a yiridah.
Yeah, but besides that, there should be this other problem, a different thing that it's written. Says it, that's only l'mitzva. How can you say that's only l'mitzvah, v'atanya shina pasul? It says if you do it the other way around, then it's pasul. Only on the tefillin. On the tefillin, it's pasul. You can't write something that's meant to be written on cloth, on duchsustus. But you can write a duchsustus on cloth. Excuse me, but it says shina bein bezeh pasul. So now what are you going to say? Yeah, very simple. They're both talking about tefillin. We talked about two halachas. We talked about writing it on the cloth. And we talked about where you write it. So, hadikatfino aklaf bebakom se'ar. One is saying whether you wrote it, bein bezeh, meaning if you wrote it on cloth, but you wrote it on the side of the cloth that was where the hair was, that's possible, because on cloth, you have to write it on the underside. And the bein bezeh was that you wrote it on duchsustus. I don't care where you wrote it on duchsustus. Even if you wrote it on the duchsustus bimkom basar. Now, here, remember I mentioned to you earlier, we should pretend that the issue of where it's written on the particular type of skin is a logistical question. But that is not necessarily the case. If the case were logistical, then de katvino ad duchsustus bimkom basar is not afilu, because that's the wrong way to write on duchsustus, you see? So you should have said, if you're Mishana either way, meaning you're Mishana by writing on the cloth, and you wrote on the cloth in the upper side instead of the underside, and even if you wrote on the duchsustus properly, meaning on the upper side and not the underside, and instead the Gemara says the opposite. And even if you wrote on duchsustus on the underside, obviously if you wrote from the underside, why, if you would normally write on the underside, it would be puzzle. You see? So therefore, it's clear that the Gemara is not viewing it as a logistical issue in which the particular type of skin is what it is that itself defines where on that skin you would write, but rather it sees the two issues as being separable. In other words, tefillin need to be written on the makom of the basar, A, and not on the makom of Seyar, and B, they need to be written on cloth. So that you would think, well, if at least if I wrote them on the makom of basar, even though it was duchsustus, it would be kosher. Kamashmalan, ben kach u ben kach. It's possible. That's what the Gemara is saying. So in other words, there's more of it, sad to say, that if I at least didn't possible both issues, then it would be kosher because tefillah needs to be written on makom basar. Now that's a little bit strange, because you would certainly that a kosher can, if you run on the duchsustus in the wrong way for duchsustus, there's more of a reason to possibly. The Gemara is saying not like that. V'ibayit ema, or it could be that you're right. Maybe it does mean shina bezeh o bezeh, but it's still not a problem. Because it's a machloket tanaim. The Tanya shina bezel bezel pasul. So there ain hachinami if it's pasul. Then there would be no way to change tefillin into a mezuzah. Unless, but even without the moridim, the problem of you can't be married by Kedusha Chamura. However, unless you hold like Rav Acha, who was machshir, Mishum Rebbe, and some have Mishum Rebbe Choy, Rebbe Chanina, Omer like Mishbeid Rebbe Akiva, but Rebbe Chanina, but in any event, it's a machloket tanaim. Okay, I have another kasha. Another kasha, fine. We answer the first problem about stumot versus ptuchot. We answer the second problem about the question of duchsustus versus klav. I have another question. You're telling me that if it wouldn't be for the problem of ein moridin mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala, that it would be possible logistically to change tefillin into a mezuzah. Excuse me. The mezuzah requires sirtut. And by the tefillin, you don't require sirtut. So how could you turn the tefillin into a mezuzah if it would not be misurtat? And writing without the sirtut, which is the indentations that are made into the parchment to write on, is possible. And you can't say that you went ahead and you did sirtut anyway. Now here's where the issue comes up. Why can't you say it means in a case where you did the sirtut? Because the din is that if you do something that doesn't need to be done, you're called a hediot, which is an idiot. So why are you doing it? Yoltaina, this is really a machlokas in the poskim. And how about if you're not a good enough sofer to be able to write without sirtut bichlal, which is the norm actually today? Even the most experienced soferim to write without sirtut doesn't come out correctly. So you base your entire ktav on hanging it on the sirtut. So if you wrote, you'll say, you wrote for that, you're certainly not called a hediot, because you're writing it for logistical purposes. You're not writing it because I hold it would make it even holier if I did my tefillin with sirtut. That person is an idiot. But if you do it because you don't know how to write properly, so you're not an idiot. Ah, so someone a taina, but then it wouldn't be sirtut. In other words, sirtut is not logistic. Sirtut is part of the din of the lishma. So if you don't write it lishma of sirtut, then it's not sirtut that would be kosher for mrs. anyway. So I wouldn't be able to answer. But my eskina could go into the sartate. I can't answer that because that sirtut wouldn't be yaitse, the sirtut for mrs. And if you're telling me, well, he did it l'shem sirtut, then he'd be an idiot. We certainly don't want to be mommy, the Gemara. It's talking about some spiritual guy who decides he's going to invest more holiness into the tefillin. Because, I mean, that's not normal to be an idiot. Otherwise, we don't call it an idiot. Call it normal. It's the only way to know the difference. So the Gemara is asking over here, and Rabbi Yomi Bar Chilkiya didei omar. Forget about it. It's a sirtut shel mezuzah. Zeh halacha l'mashu misinai. Oh, actually, Tanoi. Tanya, Rabbi Yomi omar mishum Rabbeinu tefillin u'mezuzot nichtavot shelo min haktav. Ve'ein tzrichot sirtut. So this might be going according to Rabbeinu, who says that there's no din of sirtut and mezuzah either. So if it wouldn't be for the halacha of ein moridim mikdush chamur l'kedusha kala, we could logistically turn a tefillin into a mezuzah. The hilchata is tefillin lo boi sirtut, u'mezuzah boi sirtut. But actually, that is the halacha. Idi v'idi nichtavot shelo min haktav. Even though a Sefer Torah needs to be written while you're reading from another Sefer Torah, but tefillin and mezuzot do not need you to be reading from an actual open text, because my taimra migras gars gris, and everybody knows them ba'al peh. Omer Rav Chalbo, Anachazite, once we had already the first mimer of Rav Chalbo that opened up the sugya about how to roll up a mezuzah and the dinim of the Parshot Ptuchot or Stumot. So we bring another story of Rav Chalbo, who saw Rav Huna, Davi Bai, or Havi Yativ. I mean, it doesn't mean that he was actually sitting. It means that he intended to sit, and therefore makes more sense to have the Yirsa that is changed by some of the Achronim. The boy Lameit Avapuria, the Sefer Torah Alei, he wanted to sit down on a bed, and there was a Sefer Torah on the couch, and he didn't want to sit down on the couch, so what he did was, he kaf l'kada arara, so he took a large serving bowl, turned it upside down on the floor, put the Sefer Torah on the top of that bowl, and then hadayati b'mita. Because obviously he holds asur l'sheva gabe amita she Sefer Torah munach aleha. You're not allowed to sit on the same bed that a Sefer Torah is on. I mean, the Yerushalmi makes a difference if the Sefer Torah was on something on the bed. So if the Sefer Torah is higher, then higher would have to be a minimum of a tefach. But if the Sefer Torah itself is on something else, so it's higher than the person who's sitting on it, then it wouldn't be a problem either. Upliga the Rabba Barbachana. Now this, in saying that it's usher, is not like Rabba Barbachana. The Omer Rabba Barbachana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, mutar leshev al gabe mita she Sefer Torah munach aleha. You actually could sit on such a bed, and if someone whispers in your ear, how can you do that? Imlach shecha adam lomar. Was there not a famous mice of Rabbi Elazar who found himself sitting on a bed in which he suddenly noted that there was a Sefer Torah on that bed, and he looked like he had just gotten a snake bite? V'nishmat v'yashav agabe karka v'yadome kemishe kishon nachash. Obviously, it can't be a very good idea. That's because over there, the Sefer Torah wasn't on the bed. The Sefer Torah was on the ground. What was he doing sitting on a bed when the Sefer Torah was on the karka? That was the point. So, hatam Sefer Torah agabe karka. Omer Yerom Shmuel, katva igeret. If you wrote it as an igeret. Now, there's some people, Rashi brings both pshatim. An igeret means it's written, your mezuzah, without sirtut, like you would write a common letter. Or, not to be makbed in chaserot v'yeterot. So, katva igeret pisula, my time up. We learn out the word uchtavtam ha-mezuzot petecha from the din of the katavla sefer kritut. And we learn out ktiva from ktivav sefer. So, sefer is the opposite of an igeret. That's the very difference between a letter and a book. You publish a book, it's published properly, not in handwriting. So therefore, it needs to be that same level of ketav. V'yomer v'yom ha'shvul, if you took your mezuzah and you hung it on a makel, it would be possible. Now there's a machloket of exactly what we're talking about. Some learn that the makel is attached to the upper part of the door and not to the mezuzat ha'petach. So it's up against the mezuzah, but it's not connected to the mezuzah on the side. It's hanging from the top. And that's the problem.
Dangling.
So it has, no, that, the Rambam learns that that's the problem, is that it can swing. And therefore, even though it's on the mezuzah, not that it's hanging from above, but it can swing back and forth, as the Pshat Ala Makel. And it's not on, connected on both ends. I'll be darned. That was actually 3K. He's getting up there. So it was connected only on one end, then that's not considered to be mukhar. And that you actually find people doing.
Really?
Well, they put it in and they screw it in on one end, and they're too lazy to screw it in the other end. They think it's okay. If it's a quick job, you know.
Even if it's on.
So that would be possible, even if it's on, because it swings back and forth. My time of bisha arecha, but you know, it's again, depending on what the pshat is, it in the shahr means to be attached to the shahr, or it needs to be as if it's in the shahr and therefore not movable, as opposed to one end. Okay. Tanya nami achi, if you were tal'ab makel, oshinicha achar habdelet, so that you put in the mezuzah in such a way that it was either hanging on the makel or loose on a makel, or it was on the other side of the door, so it wasn't visible inside of the door instead of outside of the door. First of all, it's a sakana, because you don't have any shmira of your mezuzah. I mean, you want shadim coming into the house. So therefore, you better watch out. But it's certainly you're not yotze mitzvah. No, so beit monbaz hamela. Beit Monbaz used to do a lot of traveling. This was a jet-setting king. And with a mother like that, what can you expect? So this was a jet-set. Yes, it's Barnea's neighborhood. Tell us about Monbaz and his mother.
Queen Helena came from Adyabin and kept all of the mitzvahs of the Chachamim and the Sukkah. And there's a discussion whether a building that we just found below the Dung Gate is her palace or not. That's a little bit controversial. Yes, there's a discussion on it. Yeah, running right. Yeah, there's a discussion on it.
According to Barnea, there's some biblical so-called scholar.
One guy.
It says otherwise. There's some discussion.
No, sorry, Halini was here.
You know, there's always the other Sefer Torah of the Haragris. Some hat is there.
No, because I missed that day, because I had to deal with Reb Noach's people. I didn't get to go on that tour. I never got to see the Sefer Torah.
Anyway, but you didn't tell us anything about how Halini Amalkis related to Mombas.
Mother.
Oh.
Yes, but that very
was
said
way of relating it. Yes.
Learning about Stucca, giving Stucca, and even with this world and not that world, and Baba Basra.
Beautiful.
The world of the boys of Stucca.
Yeah.
He was one of the biggest fans. He told you.
And now they both have their own streets in Jerusalem.
Actually, they did find her sukkah. Wasn't that part of the idea?
The
sukkah of Chadarim. Chadarim.
Exactly.
That's why they think it's her palace. In any event, so as I say, I mean, listen, his mother was a jet setter, Kol Shekin, he was a jet setter, so he never really had a place for a permanent mezuzah. He was always going to different hotels, you know, and
it's like they sell the traveling mezuzah.
The traveling mezuzah, exactly. So he needed a traveling mezuzah for the motel. Well, he wouldn't stay in a motel, but, you know, whatever, what's that? What were the fancy hotels in those days?
You know?
The Astoria. The Royal Astoria.
Magnificent. We traveled in these gorgeous tents, and there was a mouthful tea.
Okay, so then the question was, he wasn't really chayiv in a mezuzah because it's a dirat arai.
Yeah.
But, so what they used to do is, he would have a traveling mezuzah on a makel that he would put up against the door. Only zeichel a mezuzah, because he didn't have any place to put a mezuzah, but he's going to live his whole life without a mezuzah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like, if you live like Yonadav ben Rechav in a motorhome, so you think you don't use a mezuzah. You have to have a zeichel a mezuzah. Yeah, could be. So this is Zeichel Mezuzah. The Omer of Yonam Shmuel, the mitzvah is to put the mezuzah somewhere within the doorway. B'toch halalo shel petach. Well, obviously. I mean, b'sharech Omer Achmar. What do you think? You could put it in front of the door, facing the Rishut HaRabim, and not inside? I mean, doesn't b'sharech most obviously mean that it's got to be in the place where you're walking through the gate? No, you see, Salkadayetach Amina, I might have thought that the meaning of Bisharecha isn't within the gate physically, because look, I mean, Rava says, Mitzvah l'anicha v'tefach ha'tzumuch l'shut ha'rabim. If you have a long sha'ar, that's many tefachim long, you put the mezuzah towards the Rishut HaRabim, as close as you can to the Rishut HaRabim, to the outside. So I might have thought that Kama de Mirchik, putting it as far away from the Bayit, making it more and more visible as the simon of your entry, then maybe even facing the Rishut HaRabim itself would be even better. Kamash Malan, that it must be put Bisha Arecha in the place where the door would close. Omer b'chalbo chazina lehu, chazina lehu revuna, the korich la, the mezuzah, mi echad klape shema, v'oseh parshiyoteha situmot, or some have a girsa, situma. Medve, Omer b'shem ben alozer, Rabbi Meir, haya kotva al duch sustus, and it was k'min daf, and he was also revach v'lamala v'revach v'lamata, and he would write the parshiyot, uh-oh, petuchot. Amarti lo Rebbe, matam, amarli, because what's the difference how they're written in the Sefer Torah? They're not smuchot mina Torah. The Omer of Hanan al Amarav, halacha, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and I assume that that's referring to the Petuchot. So how did Rav Huna, who was a Talmud of Rav, paskin differently than Rav? La la, he was talking about the Revach. By the way, how much is that Revach? Omer Menashe bar Yaakov, Omer Shmuel bar Yaakov, Kimlo atba de sifri. Omer le Abayel Rav Yosef, at lo tisbar. Without this, you couldn't figure out on your own. De Yomer Rav a Rebach, a Rav itle min haga, and everybody nowadays even has no gama bistumot. De Yomer Rav, Omer Rav Kan, Omer Rav. I'll show you that Rav pasuk kamine. Im yavo Elio v'yomar chotzin b'minal shomim lo. But if he would tell you, "Ein cholzin besandal, ein shomim lo," shkar nagu am besandal. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Kana Amar Rab, im yavo eliyol viomar, "Ein cholzin b'minal, shomim lo." But he would say, "Ein chotzim b'sandal, ein shomim lo. Shekvar nagu am b'sandal. Ve'amrina mai b'inayu? Mina lechatchilai ka b'inayu." But in any event, he certainly wouldn't have passed in connected a minute. El olav shma mina arevach shma mina. Rimnachum ra'yitzvah komar mitzvah la'asotam stumot. But nobody was saying it has to be stumot. Yavdino petuchot shaper domi. And when Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said p'tuchot, he didn't mean only p'tuchot, he meant af p'tuchot. Leimim misayele, because we learn kayotzebo sefer Torah shebala utfilin shebalu, ein osim yemzuza, lefi she'ein moridim mikdusha chamura, likdusha kala. Now, mashma, that if it wouldn't be for that problem, and we would be moridim, then it would be possible. Why? Unless you're telling me that it's lav dafke. We're saying that you could, not that you have to. Well, not necessarily. I mean, dimalashli. So you sew it on to the place where it was missing, but after or before the part that determines if it's ptucha or stuma. Okay, I got another problem. The mashmot is moridin osin. Vatanya alachal Moshe misinai tefillin have to be written ala klav. And mezuzah on a duchsustus, and a klaf has to be written on the makom basar, not on the outer side. And the duchsustus has to be written on the outer side, and not on the inner side. But that is a halakha, but it's a halakha la mitzvah, not halakha la psul. Vatanya shina posel. That's referring to the tefillin, not the mezuzah that you write on a klaf. Vatanya shina ben bezeh posel. That's also about tefillin. Except one is talking about tefillin de katvino aklav bimkom seyar, and one is talking about tefillin de katvino duchsustas bimkom basar. Vibayit ema, maybe it really means what it seems to mean about the mezuzah too, but it's a machloket. Shina bezel bezel might be a pasul, but it's a tanoi, the tanya. Shina bezel be pasul, and Rebacha is machshir mishum Rebbe, or either mishum Rebbe Chanina, Ramlesha mishum the Rebbe Akiva by Rebbe Chanina. I got another problem. The mashmaut is moridino sin. What about sirtut? The Amr ben Yumi bar Chilkam Rav Chama bar Guri Amarav kol mizuzah sheinam mesurtetet is psula. Remin Yomer bar Chilkam today Amar sirtut shal mizuzah is alakha la Moshe misinai. It's a tanoi. The tanya, Rabbi Yirmi, Amr, Bshum, Rabbeinu, Tfilinu, Mezuzot, Nechtavot, Shalom, Min, Aktav, Ve'in, Tzirchot, Sirtot. Even a mezuzah, according to which, if it wouldn't be for the problem of Ein Moridim, Kedusha, Chamura, it would be possible to turn Tfilin into a mezuzah. But, L'maisa, L'yokata, Tfilin, Lo, Boi, Sirtot, U, Mezuzah, Boi, Sirtot. Ide, Ve'idi, Ar, Nechtavot, Shalom, Min, Aktav. My time, Migras, Gerisin. Rabbi Chalbo, I furthermore saw Laravuna that Davi Boy Lativa Puria de Sefer Torah Ale, but before he did that, he was Kaf Lakada Ara, the Anach Ale Sefer Torah, and only Hadar Yatik Bimita. Clearly, Kasavar also Lesheva Gabimita, She Sefer Torah Munach Aleha, and in this is Pliga the Rabbi Barbachana. The Omer Rabbi Barbachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mutar Lesheva Gabi Bita, She Sefer Torah Munach Aleha, the Imlach Shecha Adam Lomar. How can you do that? Maaseh b'Rabbi Elazar, Shai Yoshev al Mita, v'nizkar She Sefer Torah Munach Aleha, v'nishmat v'yashav Agabi Karka, v'haya Dome Kemishi Kishon Nachash. Oh, there, the Sefer Torah was Agabi Karka, Havi. Omer Rabbi Romer Shmu, Katava, Igeret, either without sirtut or without diuk, b'chasirot v'yeterot, pisula, ma'itayma atya k'tiva k'tiva misefer, v'yom revi yom shmuel, tal'a b'makel, psula, ma'itayma b'sha'arecha b'inan, tanya amriachi tal'a b'makel, o shinicha charadelet, sakana, because there's no shmiram and abzikin, v'ein ba mitzvah, shal bet mon baz hamelach, Hayosin bepundokotehen kein zechel mezuzah. V'yom Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel mitzvah l'anicha betoch chalalo shel ha-petach. Pshita. Bisharecho Amar Rachmana. Sal kadaitecha mina ho'elvi Amar Rava. Mitzvah l'anicha betoch ha-somach l'rushut ha-rabim kama de mircha kei ma'alei. Kamash malan that bisharecha is still a mitzvah. That question about whether you could be maniachet in front is a big machloket.